Hey everybody, Pastor John here. Day 15, 50 days of preparation. So glad that you're joining us tonight. Really excited about tonight. I'm excited about this whole process. God's been doing a number of great things in my life, and I've been hearing amazing testimonies of what God's doing in you. Hopefully you've joined the Facebook group there at Faith Center. You know, like and follow us on the Faith Center page, and then join that group, 50 Days of Preparation group. Make sure you guys join that group, and I love the different posts on there. I love, everyone writing, all the different things. Debbie Clendenin writing all that stuff about all the ites, man, that's just incredible. That is just, see, I told y'all, just like Rick says, Debbie's got the brains, Rick's got the mouth, but she shared that stuff about all the meaning of the ites. It's just really, really good stuff, and others shared other things that's just been really good and wonderful, and so I love reading them, and God's just doing a really, really good work. Tonight, I want you to open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then we'll also go to Romans chapter 3 here in just a second. We're at my office, so I would show you my office, but somebody came in and messed it up. It must have been somebody, I don't know who, but somebody came and messed it up, so we'll just stick here to the dry erase board, and I want to show you a couple things, and before I pray, I want to just all really apologize for what you're about to see, because my spelling skills are only as bad as my drawing skills. So you guys are in for a real treat tonight, but it really don't matter because I'm a man of faith. I'm not an artist and I'm not a speller, but I'm a man of faith. So I'm going to give you some faith tonight. You're going to have to read and interpret my hieroglyphics by faith here in just a few minutes, but hope you're doing well. And this scripture that we're about to read, 2 Timothy chapter 3, you can open up your Bible there. It's a scripture that we focus on one verse for this whole week. And this week it's 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, because they go right together. And I want you to three or four times a day, I want you to read this verse. I want you to meditate it. So meditate, get it in your heart. And what I mean by that is I want you to say the verse three to four times a day out loud. Say, and if you have to just, if you're working or if you're with other people to where you can't say it really loud, just say it quietly to yourself. But when you read it, say the verse, say it out loud, say the verse out loud. And then with the eyes of your heart, see it. See the truth of God's word being fulfilled in your life. See God fulfilling his word in your life. See it. And then feel it. Feel the truth of that word. Feel, it moving in your bones. Feel the truth of his word. Feel God accomplishing his word in your life. Feel it. And then guys, just do it. Remember, grace empowers for obedience. So anybody who says, oh, Pastor John, I don't know if I can do it. If you're a believer, you can do it because Christ is in you and you have grace. And his grace empowers you for truth. His grace empowers you for obedience. And so and that obedience will unlock his life in your life. That's what his obedience will do. So three to four times a day, say it, see it, feel it, do it. Get in that habit of doing that every single day, and God will show you different things. And when you're thinking about it and meditating on the verse, just ask yourself in a prayerful way, ask God this question, God, show me something of your nature in this verse. I want to see what you're like. And then ask your, in a prayerful way, kind of just, Lord, Is there an instruction or a command that you want me to obey, an adjustment in my life you want me to obey? And write it down. Write down what he shows you. And guys, doing that over the next 50 days, every day, and having that habit established in your life, man, it's going to change everything for you. I'm telling you, it's going to change everything for you. So I want to pray, and then we're going to jump into 2 Timothy chapter 3 here on day 15 of 50 days of preparation. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we honor you. And, Father, we pray over all the families that that are participating in this and all the people. And we pray, Father, that you just give them fresh faith, fresh hope, God. Give them endurance that after they have done the will of God, they will inherit and receive the promise. And Father, we pray for help tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17, for all scripture is inspired by God or God breathed. I love the way it says God breathed. I love that. And it's profitable. It's useful. And then it goes in to say what it's useful for. For doctrine, or which is teaching, a pathway of life. And it's useful for reproof or warning, useful for correction, and it's useful for training or instruction in righteousness, so that the man or the woman of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped, thoroughly prepared for every good work. Now, what I want you to see in that tonight is just a couple things. That first of all, that God has prepared, and his plan is to prepare you for some good works. And I want you to see when it says that the man of God may be complete, the person of God may be complete, you may be complete, you may be complete, thoroughly prepared, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That means every good work that God prepared to do in your life, I want you to be prepared for. He wants you to be prepared for. So he's not saying, and get this, because I want you to see the difference. He's not saying he's preparing you to do good works. What he's doing is he's preparing to do good works through you. That it's the work, it's the good work that God wants to do through your life. It's the reason God made you. It's the reason he put you in your mama's belly and shaped you. It's the reason you're a man or a woman, or your color of your skin is that color. It's the reason you were born in this generation or that generation. It's the reason you were born in this family or that. God used all these things that are called sovereign beginnings. He used all these things because he wanted to do a good work in the uniqueness of you. And so we need to prepare ourselves so that God can do the good work that he wants to accomplish for you. What is the good work? What is your life's assignment that God wants to accomplish in your life? He doesn't want you to accomplish anything. I'm so thankful that when I know I'm not under law anymore, I'm not under performance anymore, I'm under grace, that I know that he's accomplishing something through my life. I don't need to accomplish anything for him. For him to get the glory, he accomplishes things through my life. And we need to be prepared for that to happen. So turning your Bible to Romans chapter 3, and I just want to show you something, and I hope you can see this. I don't know if you'll be able to see this, but here, I want you to see God, and I want you to see man. God and man, there's a difference. So God is righteous. God is righteous. And I'm just going to say right. Y'all can righteous. Y'all take it on out. Man is unrighteous. And so what we did is we talked about this, and I'll put it in another color so you can see the difference. We talked about this, that there's a line separating. There's a line separating. And what I want you to see is that sin separated man from God. God created man up here. Even though it was in the garden, in the earth, he created man, so to speak, in grace, in righteousness. And then man, through disobedience, fell. He fell from grace. And he fell into a lower state. His identity changed. He died. His body didn't die. His soul didn't die. But his spirit died. And when he died, he moved from righteous and became unrighteous. So man is now unrighteous. man is unrighteous. And what happens is, it's between good and evil. And so man lives his life balancing good and evil. It's the knowledge of good and evil. Down here in the unrighteous realm, down here, it's the best we got is balancing good and evil from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so most of us try to be more good than we are evil. And we live off the knowledge of good and evil. But up here, it's not the knowledge of good and evil. Because ultimately, there's nothing good about the knowledge of good and evil. Up here, it's not the knowledge of good and evil. It's the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of God is higher than the knowledge of good and evil. Because God is righteous. God is holy. He is pure. But man became sinful when he disobeyed God. And so what we have is the dividing line between God and man is the law. This is the law. And the law is true. The law is holy. The law is right. The law is good. Man is under the law. Man is under law. But God, the law describes the righteousness of God. The law describes his righteousness, but man is not righteous. So man has a ceiling now. And man, as much as mankind tries to be good, and he works his way to be good and hits this ceiling every time. And then he falls. And then he goes again, trying to be good. I'll read my Bible more. I'll do more stuff and fall. You know what? I'm going to be better this time. It's going to be different this time and fall. You know, I'm going to try again. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to try to be righteous. God, I'm going to do this because I love you and fall. And man can see the goodness of God, can honor and respect and love and say, man, look at how good God is. Look at how righteous God is. I want to be like that. So I'm going to work my way up. Oh, I can't do it. Work my way up. Oh, I can't do it. Work my way up. Can't do it. And sometimes man gets so burnt out by the slide of condemnation and judgment and guilt and shame because man says, I'm not good enough. Then what happens is man finally just succumbs to evil and just says, forget it. I don't believe in God anymore. I'm just going to close the door on God. So the law is holy and just, but the law shows, it reveals that God is righteous, but man is unrighteous. And what I love, and I'm about to show you, what I love is that what man could not do, what the law could not do, God did. In his righteousness, he sent his son. He sent his son. In his righteousness, he sent his son to the earth. And this is the law. This is grace. And I know you can't hardly see that because that light right there, but this is the law. This line is grace. And what man could not do on his own, he accepted the grace of God. And once you accept the grace of God, two things happen when you accept the grace of God through Christ Jesus. Two things happen. Number one, your life changes. You become righteous. And it kind of, I describe it this way. It's who you are in Christ. So who you are in Christ is righteous. God is righteous. Christ is righteous. And now you are in Christ and you have been made righteous by grace through faith. So you're trying to be made righteous by your works is over. It's over because you're no longer trusting in your work. You're trusting in his work. You're trusting in his work and his good work that he did for you, that he did in you to bring you up to a higher reality, to break the ceiling of the law, to bring you up. Jesus fulfilled the law by grace. He fulfilled the law so that he could do his good work in you. So this way describes who you are in Christ. But this way describes who Christ is in you. Who Christ is in you. See, in him I am made righteous, but Christ in me, his righteousness is in me. So I still in my body live at this level, but I live from that level. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. So in the same way that Jesus is God and is the Son of God and is righteous, he came to earth to show unrighteous man, came to show unrighteous man a righteous God. And then giving his life, remember, the person who saw the problem, which is sin, and the punishment, decided to give a promise, the promise of the Son of God, the promised Passover lamb, the promised Lamb of God, to come and suffer the punishment to solve the problem and to bring us back to the person, but then make us people who carry the promise of the one who solved, or the one who suffered the punishment. And we represent the one who suffered the punishment. We represent the promise. And we also represent the person who solved the problem. And so God sent the person to do all that, to make us a people of promise, so that just like Jesus reflected and demonstrated the righteousness of God in an unrighteous world, you and I show the righteousness of God, not to come and say, you're unrighteous, I'm righteous, I'm better than you. That's not the message. Jesus did not give that message. His message at first under the law was, yes, you are unrighteous. You are sick. You are in sin. You need a savior. But the good news is, I've come to save you. I've come to save you. And so we first have to show people the law so that they see they are not as good as they think they are. And God is better than they think he is. And then he uses our life as a promise to show them what he did on their behalf to redeem them. So with that understanding, look at Romans chapter 3, and I already read verse 19 and 27 to you, but let's look at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So the righteousness of God is now being revealed, and it's witnessed or it's evidenced by the law and the prophets, meaning the Old Testament scriptures. It's witnessed by those. And even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, being justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his patience and forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ, or the one who has faith. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By the law or works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith. Man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, the God of the Gentiles also. And here's what I'm getting to. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, We establish it. We fulfill it. We confirm it. So we don't take away the law. The law must stand. Jesus came to fulfill the law, but we are not under the law. We are now in grace. We are now in grace, like Jacob's ladder. We are now in grace. We can ascend to a heavenly realm because we're actually seated in a heavenly place, but doing ministry in an earthly place. So we are in Christ, in his righteousness here, but he is in us down here. We are his representatives. And so we are whole and complete and perfect. But here, we don't do away with the law. Because if we do away with the law, grace doesn't make sense. Grace doesn't make sense. So people need to know that God is good, they are not. God is righteous, they are not. But God loves you so much that he didn't come to leave you there. He sent his only son to come to what you and I could not do, to redeem you and bring you up into his grace. He brought you out of sin, brought you out of the law, brought you out of Egypt, brought you up into his grace, bringing you into his promised land so that you can represent him to other people who are lost in Egypt so they can be saved and Pharaoh can be mad. That's what God wants to do in and through your life. And that's why we need the training and the instruction in righteousness. The Spirit of God, watch this. God uses the Spirit of God and the Word of God. All scriptures God breathe. So God uses the Spirit of God within us, the Spirit of God within us, who's made us righteous. And once we've been born again, and the Word of God is useful, it's profitable. For training in righteousness so that we can be ones that Christ in us can reveal the righteousness of God to people who know they are unrighteous and they need God. And we can say through our life, the good work that God is doing through our life is to reveal the promise, the gospel of grace, the promise that Jesus took your punishment and Jesus solved your biggest problem, and he's reconciled you back to the Father. And you don't have to live under the law anymore. You can live under grace. And when you live under grace, you don't do away with the law. You actually fulfill it. And God uses your life to confirm and affirm the law as a living witness, as living evidence to his righteousness in an unrighteous world. Not to come and judge them. We don't come and judge them. We come and love them. When we love them, we reveal the truth about, number one, who God is. God is good and God is righteous. And number two, they are unrighteous. And they need a Savior. What a privilege we have. God is preparing us to carry his promise to this world. Not to judge people, but to let them know that Jesus was judged in their place. And that we can take up this grace that empowers us to a life of obedience, to show his righteousness through us. So the world can know that he is good. See, the law, Christian obeying the law, is you trying to show the world that you're good. But you're not. He's good. He's good. The world doesn't need to see how good you are. But they're dying to see how good he is. Read your verse, and I'll see you tomorrow at 7 p.m. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your people according to your word. Amen.